Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The hardest part about the driving the he was doing bus. Couldn't have been the vehicle. It had to have been having 10 high school kids.
Oh, that was the
crazy
best part.
Crazy in it.
The stories that they tell in the bus.
They forget you're even there.
Oh, yeah.
When you're driving kids around, they forget you're even in the car. You can learn a lot.
Did you let the kids drive ever just because it was fun?
Just to take
only
a nap
when he'd
in
been
the
drinking.
Back.
Yeah. Only when he'd been drinking.
Susan Pfeffer gets... Susan Pepper gets allowed to drive.
Open the front door.
Only in
smiling.
A state park. Yeah, because if you put her out on an actual road, we never would have come back.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We got a tremendous crowd here at Chatter. Woo, woo, woo. Many of the Jingle Fest people, and we'll get to the Jingle Fest, are with us.
Like Ovi, still drunk.
Yes, Gary Braun is with us. Crystal Liz is with us. Michael Kornheiser is with us. Nigel will... do the news, run the board, our intern, and he's great. Marcus, who got Corky's ribs from Memphis, they are in the house today.
And my father-in-law will be so upset he missed it. He drives through Memphis purposely from Texas.
Is that right?
To go to Corky's.
That's
he
fabulous.
He loves it.
That's fabulous.
It's a Memphis Monday here.
We have a couple of celebrities with us. Paul Feinbaum has dropped in. And David Nakamura, who started in the sports department of the Washington Post and covers the White House for the Washington Post,
right,
is with us. David had that incident that I had where the guy comes up to you and says, my daughter needs an operation and I've got to get
no
the ball.
No way.
David, true story, David, as I did, threw the guy at 20. David and I, the two dumbest human beings on the face of the earth, threw the guy at 20 at that point.
Hope she's doing all right.
My daughter, yeah. My daughter wanted me to mention this. And by the way, our schedule is we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week. We're done. We're done for the summer. We will do pop-up podcasts sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the evening, but the fierce schedule is done Thursday.
Will we attempt to promote on Twitter or otherwise ahead of time that the pop-ups are coming in case people want to come?
I don't know how to do that because I don't subscribe to the Facebook.
He doesn't get
by Semaphore,
Twitter.
I think is what we'll do by Semaphore.
Yeah, yes. I didn't join the Hulu, but everybody else can do it. All right, my daughter wants you to know on Monday, July 9th, coming up Monday, July 9th, the Dogfish Head dinner, beer dinner at Chatter. This is $65, which includes the tax, the tip, and all fees. There are 35 seats available. These are going to go quickly. This is in conjunction with Dogfish Head and with Calvert Woodley and with La Cheeserie. There's a welcoming reception. This is provided. La Cheeserie is the cheese is provided by Calvert Woodley. There's a grilled peach Capri salad. There's salt and pepper fried green tomatoes. There's crab Benedict. There's chicken fried short rib. There's espresso panna cotta at the end, I guess. And there's beer all over the place. I guess you can call us. I guess call Chatter and make a reservation. There's only 35 seats.
Don't call open table.
No, don't.
Yeah, do not call open table.
They will not know what you're talking
this
about.
Is
just show up.
No, don't show up. I mean, show up, but you're not going to get into this. Monday, July 9th. So you've got some time. And you can do that and make my daughter happy, and that will make me happy.
Tone, when is the eating prize? Is that
that starts coming
next week?
Starts this weekend.
I'm interested.
The American Pie Man versus Food Challenge.
Yes.
Now, you know what Elizabeth told me this morning? She said on Thursday, I will bring in one of these things. And I said, no, I put my hand up, the sign of the cross. I said, no, no. She said, no, you've got to see it. You've got to see what it looks like.
Yes, that makes sense.
You don't want us to eat it. She said, well, you can eat it. And I said, no, well, this
I'm
is for professionals.
I will throw cash on the table to see Chris attack this.
I mean, back in my olden days, you know, 20, 30 pounds ago.
Yeah, milk challenge days.
I might be able to not eat that. There's no chance. I want to observe someone who
well, this
attempts
is the whole
it.
Thing, and people start cheering, eat like that, and it's just
that's an interesting cheer.
No, so well, whatever they do, that starts at the end of this. We are awash in food.
So that's
food.
The end of this week.
We are
okay,
awash
got it.
In food. Let me get to Jingle Fest since we have such a Jingle Fest crowd. I know that Michael and Nigel and Gary went, and also you guys played golf in the
jingle
in,
golf in the
in
rain,
the pouring rain,
golf. Yeah.
What was that like?
It was wet.
It was wet.
Yeah.
It was very wet.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I was amazed. It didn't appear anyone ended up with pneumonia as a result or any
Not
other
yet.
Sort of ailment.
Not
but,
yet.
Yeah, that was... I mean, we had fun. I played with Mike Mormatag from Toronto, who had come down
Toronto.
Yeah,
you can't say the second C.
Yes,
Toronto. I thought it was. Yeah, I thought you have to say
it's pronounced
the
Toronto.
The front one, though. Toronto.
What's it pronounced?
Toronto and Aloha.
Just Aloha, so can, yes. Aloha Tower. Yes. Yeah, Aloha Tower.
And the best move for me of the golf was when the round was over. Mike had paid because I was running late. I'd come from the show. And I said, "What do I?" And he said, "I think it was like $25." And all I had was $20s. And I just said, "Here's $40. Just take care of me tomorrow night at the Jingle Fest thing," which he did. So I didn't. Mike was just plying me with beers all night.
So
I said, "Just go
away."
So the
three of you went. Now, Michael, you had. I could not go. I was playing. I'll go very briefly into this, and maybe later in the show I'll go more into this. But I was auctioned off to play golf for the Jimmy V Cancer Research Fund every year at the ESPYs, so it's coming up again. Get auctioned off. I often get auctioned off with Wilbon. Wilbon was not there, so I was there. And so we played all day, and then I took the guys here to chatter afterwards, and I was beat. I mean, I was
bet.
Really tired.
It
I
was hot.
I was really, really tired, so I missed the Jingle Fest, which is okay, but Michael, tell me your experience, and it's my experience all the time. You get into a 3-foot circle. That's
and
the
you
radius.
You are there for the night,
and that's it. And you stay there and you say hi to people, which is nice.
The best way to describe this, it's like going to a wedding. You end up talking to a million people. You have the most interesting and varied conversations. You're smiling the entire time, and the next day you just wake up and say, "What happened to me last night?
What happened?"
Yeah. Sounds like my typical Saturday night.
So I did make a point of sort of fighting to this. The venue was kind of cool. I'm pretty sure you've
awesome.
Never been there, but
never been there.
So in the back, they had an actual stage where everybody was performing. I won't attempt to name all the multiple jinglers, but everyone knows them all.
And they're great.
You know the names, and they're phenomenal. And they all. They all had their own sets, had multiple sets. And I made a point of getting back there and hearing and watching some of them.
And they played the classics.
Oh, yeah, they did. Okay. They were playing the hits. And of course, they performed the Tony Kornheiser Man, the one from the Hamilton. they did
brilliant.
That all together.
Brilliant.
But
brilliant.
The thing about the jingles, it was so funny for me. I was just so thankful I have another job, no offense, Nigel or Michael, because I was just watching them thinking, my God, this show is so stupid. And it's just, and the jingles just like highlight it and underscore it so well. I mean, my face hurt from smiling. I was literally grinning ear to ear the whole evening. And had it been closer to where I live, I probably would have stayed a lot longer. It was a good time.
And what was your experience like?
Oh, it was lovely. I mean, just to see everybody, you know, there was the song. Well, I walked in right as they just finished playing Reset the Board to Zero.
Oh, yes.
So
I
was
in your honor.
Feel good.
Yeah,
in
so
your honor.
I was very upset to miss that.
Yeah,
but yeah. And we had fun on Friday night.
Were
with
other
the,
people there?
Yes. Liz Clark was there.
Oh,
David Aldridge
great.
Was there.
Leon was
Leon.
There.
Jeannie was there. Leon
Maureen.
Was there.
Michael said Leon was the hit of the show.
Oh, yeah. People's champ.
Leon's like the mayor.
That's great.
He's on TV.
And I'll just say, there was a very lovely moment for me. Every interaction was just fantastic. But Gary, as I was sort of making my exit, there was a young woman that I walked up to say hi to you, and she looked at me as if Paul McCartney just walked in the room.
Really?
I'm like, you're here, Nigel. And it's always makes me very happy.
So speaking of Paul McCartney, a number of people have sent me this thing, the clip of James Corden.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh,
it's amazing.
It's going to be lovely.
It's Carpool
like 30
karaoke.
Minutes
it's
long.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's just, you think to yourself, wow, you're Paul McCartney. You don't ever have to do this. And he seems to be the happiest person in the world, sitting in a car and singing and going to his old house in Liverpool.
That's a fun
and
bit.
That's, driving down Penny Lane.
He's pretty talented.
That. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
It's so wonderful. I would think. I don't know this because, I mean, I know who James Corden is. I don't stay up to watch that show. But I also know that he was a musical performer in England, you know, a theatrical performer. It's beginning to seem to me like the single status symbol in America is for him to ask you to sit in that car and sing along with him.
It's
I mean, the list
a big
of
deal.
People who do that.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's stunning. Yep. That list is stunning.
So, although Paul McCartney's probably at the top of it.
Yeah,
I would
think.
Yes, it is. It's a very cool thing he does.
Let me just offer in closing about Jingle Fest. A lot of people asked about Saliza, who I said unfortunately couldn't be there, and by that I thought
hair.
He was too good for all of them.
gave him the wrong address.
Yeah. It was
like 8 minutes from my house, Gary. I can't drive all the way there.
There are people who purport to be fans of this show and friends of ours personally, and I'm thinking of people like David Klecka specifically, who have never been to one of these.
Well, he lives in Phoenix.
Yeah, that's people. Anita came from Alaska.
I know. Anita
Bert came from Denver or wherever he is.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is already like
Bird came in the middle of the night because he's not allowed to travel.
There's a soft booking for next year, so people have no excuse. They can circle the date on their calendar. It's June 22nd of 2019.
Okay.
Will be the fifth one of these, and you have to come if you're a fan of the show. It's too much fun.
I, just for the record, I was in charge of my children all weekend. My wife went out of town and is still out of town. It's a little dicey.
She just left the kids alone.
You know what, Tony? It's going to be fine. She's with her parents. You know, we're going through a rough patch. And
sometimes mommy and daddy need some time apart.
It's fine. No, she is in St. Louis celebrating her dad's 70th birthday, going to Cardinals games. And I'm watching the children.
Oh, that's fine.
It was really fun.
So speaking of children, the baby boy Bootsy was 1 year old yesterday and had
Big birthday party.
Big had a big birthday party. Aunt Elizabeth made a cake.
A beautiful cake.
A great cake.
It was more
cake.
Of a wedding cake, it looked like.
It was a lovely cake.
Leftovers or?
Oh, I'm sure there were leftovers. They're in their house.
There either are or there aren't.
But what was what was the most fun was the baby boy. The baby boy lives in a box. Why don't you explain this?
So we had to get his big boy.
Box.
We had to get him a big boy car seat. And it comes in this beautiful box. It's about 3.5 feet tall. 3 feet wide, and he has been living in this box for the last week.
That's right.
He rolls it over, he hides in it, he folds the flaps in, he uses the little hand holders as port windows to play peekaboo, and his grandfather's just sitting about 10 feet away saying, well, I guess he's ready to be homeless. He's already got the box. Yeah.
But he also got... He got a second box.
A second box, an even bigger box.
Bigger box.
Now
he's got an apartment complex.
Yeah, he now has a one bed plus a den.
Yeah.
And this one he's using as a boat. He is the captain of this ship.
I am the captain.
Master of the soul. And he is waving around his little golf clubs, attacking anybody who sets foot near
his grandfather's jeans in him.
This is what Chessie the dog does. Chessie the dog, you can approach her at any point in the house at any time. You can stick your hand in her mouth and pull something out of her mouth. But when she goes into her cage...
That's her home.
No, that's her home. Now, when you go in and you reach in, she bites you.
Protect this house.
That's right.
I find so telling is that for every milestone of my son, you compare him to the dog. Yesterday, he's still not as smart as Chessie. He gets a lovely little chair so he can sit in the living room with all of us.
Sure.
And you go, I don't know, that chair wouldn't hold Chessie.
Yeah. Like,
you see the world through the prism of a dog's eye.
Well, it was quite a lovely party with quite good food. Michael cooked, and everything was really good. You cooked your sister's potato salad. That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, the potato salad took all day. We essentially cooked the potatoes in bacon fat, I think is the secret to everything.
Right.
Now, so this was his first birthday party. We took him to the park earlier in the day. And the stress levels that I saw from the parents trying to set up these outdoor little picnics for kids who are the big kids in the 3 to 6 range. I thought
you got to farm them out.
I thought
that's
getting through the first birthday party is a big deal.
No.
This looked like the worst experience ever.
They were
using all the water. The water feature was turned off.
You need to hire
They were calling
people for
their
those.
Local, you know, council members to get this thing turned back on because they told the kids to show up in swimsuits.
You need to hire people for every birthday over 2. You need to hire people. You need to get.
Did you have Nige dress up as Barney the dinosaur or anything? Do any?
Oh, we're saving that
costuming.
He did it. It wasn't planned, but he did it anyway.
Yeah, I just show up to places.
Hello, everyone.
He's not quite allowed.
I have a recommendation, by the way, for future the great zucchini magician extraordinaire.
There is such a person?
Of course.
The great zucchini?
Absolutely. I've been to like 30, 40 of his shows. I've been to many more of his shows than Nigel's shows.
But can't make Jingle Fest.
He does it. Like I said, I live 8 to 10 minutes away, Gary. I can't drive that far. It was at night. Great zucchini. If you want a good time, you know, for kids.
Yeah.
It means
different things to different people.
It's terrific. Yeah, I love him.
So
good
Dad,
magician for the 3 to 6
What did you write on his birthday card? Because it was not the same message you wrote on my Father's Day card, which was Happy Father's Day.
Chessie
Cheers,
can't read this.
Tony Kornheiser.
Congratulations, Tony, or whatever you choose to call me.
What was the line before that? We thought it said unity, but it didn't fit the message.
No. It was the writing. I said, now, that's real writing. The 6 lines of the poem.
Okay.
I said, now that's quality writing or something like that. Congratulations,
was it,
Tony.
It is not death that a man should fear, but he should fear never beginning to live.
No, like, it's not. It was
no?
No, it was ridiculously.
Marcus Aurelius.
It was terrible.
Amazing quote.
We're out of here. Wilbon, when we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the quip ad. This is new. We've never done this before. Ooh. I'm going to read the copy
Get
for
your
the
popcorn
first
ready.
Time. The truth is most of us are brushing our teeth wrong, not for long enough, and forget to change our brush on time. That's because most brands focus on selling flashy gimmicks rather than better brushing, but not Quip. So what makes Quip so different? For starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes while still packing just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. Good vibrations, as the Beach Boys would say. Quip's built-in timer helps you clean for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes with guiding pulses that remind you when to switch sides. Next, Quip's subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. Is that presuming your teeth come out of your mouth, or is it just where you take your teeth like when they go along with you? Everyone loves Quip. They sure. were on Oprah's O list, named one of Time's best inventions. Oh, and is the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. Plus, they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/TonyK right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/TonyK. It's spelled GETQUIP.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Direction. This is one of the great musicians who's ever listened to this show. This is Jason Fuse, who's sitting right over there.
Fuse's talent is on full display.
The fuse is lit.
Yes. Oh, that's
good
wow,
one. He was Chris. On Saturday.
Good, Chris. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He's back home. There's a lot of things we haven't talked about. You and I didn't get a chance to talk about the draft. You and I haven't talked about World Cup. We haven't talked about the All-Star game or any of those things. We've talked incessantly about where LeBron is going. But let's move to some of these other things. Was there any particular takeaway you had from the draft that was either surprising or noteworthy to you?
Tony, I think the most noteworthy thing for me, you know, those things are personal largely, you know, and depending on where you are, where you live, where the news is emanating from, you know, that's what you react to. And, you know, I spent a chunk of my life now in Arizona and was there in Arizona when the draft took place. And for Ayton to go one, that was, that's a big story. A kid who played his 1 year of college ball there. He's going to now play professionally there. But then when the Suns also picked up Mikal Bridges with that trade with Philly, which seems just to be I don't understand what Philly was doing. I'm not, you know, tried to look and, you know, listen a lot, because that became then just a huge story there. To add in one draft the number one pick and a guy who while 10 on all these boards, could be the most ready-to-play wing player right now coming out of college, and can shoot it, can defend it, is polished, is the kind of guy who that place, you know, Arizona and Phoenix market will rally around. That where I was, and for what I care about, the Suns, you know, sort of won the night as far as I was concerned, Tony. And I can't wait to see those guys, you know, sort of try to put it together and down the line. Like in 3 years, that quartet they've got, which also includes Devin Booker, Josh Jackson, and even T.J. Warren, they got some real young studs, and you wonder, like, are they going to be as potent down the line as, are they going to be a Golden State in the making? It's a legit question to wonder.
So that was troublesome for me, Because I watched the draft, and I thought they did a really good job. I thought that Jay Billis and Chauncey Billups were absolutely prepared with everything that was in front of them. And that was this touching moment, because Bridges' mom works for the Philadelphia 76ers. And he went to Villanova, and he's a local kid. And her excitement was palpable.
Yeah.
And I imagine she got her heart broken, honestly, within 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it's great for Phoenix.
I thought the Suns should offer her the same job.
I'm sure it's great for Phoenix, but I felt, oh, my God, the bottom dropped out of that family in 20 minutes. You know what I mean?
It was just sort of, it was a bit of cruelty to it. It was a twist to it. I mean, and if you're the 76ers, you know the problem is Mikal Bridges is actually, when I said ready to play.
He could play right now for them.
Yeah, the 76ers don't want people who are ready to play. They've got the pressure for 2 years. And let me tell you how it's part of the process. This sort of, I don't know. It leads me to just root against them anyway. I don't care about Philly.
That was a tough one for me, because this is like, everybody says, oh, this is a dream come true. You know, I get to play in the NBA. And you want to say, shut up, you're 19. Leave me alone. But for the mom, it actually looked like a dream come true. Yeah. And she works for them.
Yeah,
what are you doing to her?
It's just an awful thing. It's
your phone is terrible. Where are you?
I'm at home.
Bob Ryan.
It's a landline.
Wow.
It's like booing Santa. It's worse.
Yeah, I thought that was... I'll tell you my takeaway right away, and I know you share this. Trae Young, who effectively went as the third pick overall. Young, who in the last half of the season was defended to such a degree that he wilted. Trae Young, the third pick overall, in effect. He's tiny, Mike. He's tiny.
Tony, people say, oh, he could be the next Steph Curry. He could be the next Muggsy Bogues.
Yes, he's
tiny. I mean, he's Lilliputian.
Yeah.
He's not Steph Curry. He's not. They say they hope that he's going to get to 180. Are you kidding me? It's the NBA, man. They target Steph Curry.
They list him as I was, because I thought the same thing. They list him at 6'2".
He's not.
They list Steph at 6'3".
There's
no way Trae
Young
is
not.
Trae Young 6 foot, Mike?
Trae Young is 6 feet tall.
That's it. I mean,
he's
teeny. That's it. I wish him all the luck in the world, but he's small. You know, I feel the steal of the draft, and obviously it's based on medical information. If Michael Porter's healthy at 14?
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's if, you know, people have the medicals, Tony, and he wouldn't work out, or he couldn't.
Yeah.
They had the medicals.
Yes.
And so, I hope it works out for him. He's joining a 46-win team, and they can use what he does. So if he can still do it and not have to, you know, become Greg Oden, then it is a steal, if.
Oh, by the way, just on Trae Young. Thoughts on the shorts suit?
I thought that was... Trae Young seems to me, and I don't know if Wilbon
LeBron
agrees.
Made that okay, didn't he?
Trae Young seems to be somebody who really, really likes the spotlight, wants to be in it all the time.
He doesn't want it.
He's a calculated kid, don't you think?
He doesn't realize. And he's going to a place where they never get it right in terms of that
Atlanta
franchise. They never get it right. Dallas had a steal because they were able to work that deal.
And you may not think that the quality of that European league that Doncic plays in is anywhere near the NBA, and you'd be right.
It is. It's nowhere near college.
But
it's a lot better.
He's played against men.
Oh, yeah.
He's played 5 years men.
He's played in something better than the NCAA.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And he won a championship there.
Yes.
So, I just think that this. The last two drafts, Tony, will shape the NBA for the next 20 years.
Really?
Because you know you're talking, and especially the three drafts. You know, so this is three drafts encompasses Ben Simmons. You know, it includes a lot of guys who are going to be really the face of that league, and particularly. It can move it in a direction with teams as well. So
okay.
But yeah, the Bridges thing,
Yeah. Sad for me. Sad for me.
Wow.
You are, everyone knows you have decided to go to the World Cup to watch. And so you have prepped by watching soccer for a little while already. What is your first takeaway on soccer?
Well, I'll just say I like that it had an NCAA basketball quality to it, March Madness quality. It was some of the big boys. I mean, how about Germany getting the goal it had to get off the floor, to get off the mat?
Yeah.
And so, I'm paying, more attention, I guess, to Argentina and its woes, and Germany until scoring that goal, and Brazil, and the teams that matter in the world.
Is there someone you're rooting for?
No. Okay. I don't have. I'm now sort of rooting for Mexico. Hmm.
Really?
For a variety of reasons, yeah. Yeah,
I would recommend El Tri. I would also recommend people watch
in English.
The two teams that have looked the best. That is accurate. Yeah. The two teams that have looked the best so far.
England,
Belgium, and England.
Belgium. Yeah, right. Belgium. Yeah, but they've looked that way. No, they're in two weaker, of the worst teams.
They're in weaker groups, but yeah. they both Tunisian, score. Panama,
we
they
would
both
welcome,
score
we
as opposed
welcome,
to
we'd welcome 1-0. You support Wilbon.
The three Lions, baby.
So okay, all right. It's not for me, but I'm glad it's for you. I mean, not for me.
I'm glad that it now matters more. I just say it's fascinating to me that this is now really passed us by, and I'm us. I mean,
America,
a certain generation of Americans.
Yeah, it's
always kept soccer at arm's length at least, and just said, well, it's never going to matter here. Well, it does matter here now. It matters here in an enormous way. The people like my son, at that age, they now grow up. They don't need the local product to be good to embrace the product. And we're talking about something that is so global, as we just sort of shrink back from anything that is global as a culture. We're not shrinking back from that. Sport is the place. The two things that are just on fire internationally are soccer and basketball. And it was just interesting that at this time, those two things dominated the news and have for days. It's going to be interesting to see just how it continues to evolve. But
my sense of soccer,
I don't have a team, but I'm interested in something that the world is interested in.
Yeah, my sense of soccer is always when you see the highlights, it looks great. But it's sort of to me like almost NASCAR. If you've ever been to a NASCAR race, like about an hour in, you go, how long is this going to go on?
three people pay attention to NASCAR.
Well, I'm just saying that. But
we're the only three people that don't pay attention to soccer.
This is the experience I have, that when watching the highlights are fantastic, and their skill level is great, but watching the whole game, I'm that guy who stands there and yells, shoot it, shoot it, let's go, let's test the goalie, let's shoot it. Oh, by the way, you're being advertised as the world's LeBron, where's LeBron going expert. They're saying
we know who the expert on that is. It's Brian Winterworth.
No, but I'm telling you, I was watching the Overnight Sports Center and they had a whole promo. Are you tracking a piece on where is LeBron going?
No.
Well, they're advertising you as being on SportsCenter tonight with a big piece on where is LeBron going.
Tony,
I'm telling you, I saw this.
Tony, I you ask me what I'm doing.
Right.
I spent the weekend unplugged from sports completely, other than you don't need to watch the draft except for if there are certain stories like seeing the mom's reaction.
Yeah.
I listened to all the picks on the draft. I was busy doing something, so I listened to the draft on radio. Listened to it on Sirius XM radio.
Well, you may get a call today.
I didn't. So LeBron, I mean, I'm waiting to hear what LeBron's going to do like everybody else. So I am not Brian Winterworth. Maybe I was confused.
I'm just telling you.
We all look alike.
They've advertised you as having this big piece on where LeBron is going. So
okay, well.
So we'll see you later, and then after the show you can track that piece.
Yeah, after the show I can go home and go back to sleep. I don't know
right.
sort of what that is. You sound fairly serious.
I am. I saw it. I saw it. It was Kenny Mayne and Steve Levy. Well,
It's already aired.
Feinbaum's here. He says it's already aired. Did you do a piece?
It wasn't where LeBron. First of all, that piece is already run.
Oh,
nailed it.
Okay.
As far as I know, the piece is already run. The piece was, you know, tracked a bit ago, and it dealt with the Lakers. You know, it dealt with, you know, the place that he seemed at the time that I wrote it the most likely to go, and it may still be the case, but. That ain't breaking news. Okay?
Oh, okay. Well,
you know, that's
you may have to do an update then.
Is there news on the weekends? Winterhorn's broken something?
No, they're casting you as the LeBron expert. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
So when you walk out of the house today, when people say, hey, where's LeBron going?
LeBron,
you put a microphone.
I'm going to say, I think he was going to Safeway.
Okay.
The refugee Safeway. He's coming to D.C.
Right. I'll see you later. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, so this is the Buffalo Trace ad. We have not done this before. Buffalo Trace is bourbon made in the United States of America, as I believe all bourbon is made in the United States of America. I've not ever been a bourbon person. My daughter likes bourbon. Michael, do you?
I'm learning to appreciate it.
So
with these tasting
good answers.
Okay, so
good.
I
very political.
I took notes on this.
Hmm.
I took notes. I had this. You told Gary your advice was to take like a couple of drops
after
of water.
After you had it, yes, I said just put a couple droplets of water in there. It'll sort of
let me read their copy and then I'll get to what I did. Buffalo Trace's deep amber whiskey has a complex aroma of vanilla, mint, and molasses. Pleasantly sweet to the taste with notes of brown sugar and spice that give way to oak, toffee, dark fruit, and anise. This whiskey finishes long and smooth with serious depth.
Depth.
Come on. Buffalo Trace is a bourbon you can drink neat or on the rocks or in cocktails like the Manhattan or the Old Fashioned. Bourbon is America's native spirit. It must be made in the United States with at least 51% of corn and aged in new charred oak barrels. No additives or coloring. To be labeled Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, the spirit must be made in Kentucky. Well, that makes sense. And be aged a minimum of 2 years. An award-winning whiskey, Buffalo Trace Bourbon, is a leading premium brand made at the legendary 200-year-old Buffalo Trace Distillery, the world's most award-winning distillery. Mm. More recently, Buffalo Trace Distillery won Whiskey Magazine's 2018 Distiller of the Year honor. Buffalo Trace Bourbon is made at the home of bourbon legends like E.H. Taylor Jr., George T. Stagg, Albert B. Blanton, William LaRue Weller, and Elmer T. Lee. I don't have any idea who these people are. You know, seriously.
I know Buffalo Trace does an Elmer T. Lee, which is Tony Kornheiser level bottle in terms of what it costs. I mean, that's a $250 bottle of bourbon. Probably.
Okay, and I drank this the other night.
What'd you think?
Well, it was...
Because you're not a bourbon drinker, typically, right?
I have scotch is what I have consumed over the last 15 years. Not a tremendous amount of it, but I sit on the porch, especially when it's raining, as it has for the last 3 months, and drink a little bit of scotch. Mm-hmm. This, the Buffalo Trace, which my wife threw down, like it was Sepacol and she had a cough. She's just chugging this stuff. It tasted to me, and I mean this as a compliment, though it won't sound as a compliment. It tasted to me like pine and a good old baseball glove. You know, great
depth. Getting the notes from the wood.
Yes, depth to it. I was a little bit surprised at the
depth
body
of that?
Yeah.
The body?
Yeah, because it's deeper than
it's
scotch.
It's complex.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm not the world's greatest at doing this, but I would certainly
do
it again.
So how did you drink it? Just neat? Or
yes.
Did you? All right. So you haven't tried it since I gave you the water trick.
No, the second time I put an ice cube in it.
Did you notice any difference?
Yes, it lightened a little bit when I put the ice cube, but I don't typically do that.
Right.
Have you had it?
I have not had this yet.
Have you ever had this?
I only drink wine coolers.
Now, here's the interesting thing.
Bartles and James?
Yes.
Great.
Love them. Those two old guys.
It's interesting, actually, that they're advertising with you because, and you wouldn't know this, not being a regular consumer of it, but let me say, in Montgomery County, where I live, you almost cannot get it. It is,
really?
Yeah. If you go to like the Montgomery County, you know how Montgomery County.
So it's sold out? Or
correct. It's very difficult to get.
So here are some sources that it says the hosts can use to educate themselves on bourbon. Great Bourbon Bars link, which is www.greatbourbon.com. And there's all these. I mean, what am I supposed to say? There's all of these. links. Just
I think that note is for your information.
Buffalo
if you
Trace.
To, in the unlikely event you wanted to educate yourself before the read.
My God, I can't.
Buffalo Trace.
I'm smart
go drink it.
I'm smart. I know. I'm so old. I cannot absorb anything new. I can't. That's it.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Jim Bernstein in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It says, Dear Grandpa, I've attached a tune from the New York City-based group Raised by Tigers called Gonna Be Okay. The band's fiddle player, James Letty, is the boyfriend of my second child, a feminine child, and James is also a native of Oakdale, Long Island, and alumnus of Binghamton University.
Wow.
I went out with a girl from Oakdale, Long Island, Sally, and she and I are both alums of Binghamton University. When I learned James is a Bearcat, I asked if he knew who you are. He did not. So I admonished him for not knowing the best-known graduate of Binghamton, to which he took issue. He says, Flo from Progressive Insurance. Yes, I say that too.
Flo
is number one at Binghamton.
You're above Paul
so
Reiser,
I asked him
though,
if
right?
he could name the actress who plays Flo. He could not. I can.
Stephanie
right? Corden. Yeah, therefore, I think I made my point. Edith, Flo, all the best to you and the gang. Michael, if people in Raised by Tigers or any other group want to get their music played full at the end of the podcast, how do they do it?
Send us your original music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And what are we selling? Are we selling?
Bootsy, now that he is one, Bootsy's one, still working hard for you before the Johnny O summer sale.
Johnny O, you can get
sale.
Johnny O stuff.
Now they are out of many of their bestsellers because they're gearing up for their fall release.
Gearing up for fall. They ought to gear up for summer. Because Chuck Bell today said, starting on Thursday, it's 97 degrees all the way through September.
But at least we'll have rain.
Sounds lovely.
97 degrees. Hmm. The mosquito problem, the infestation in this area, is going to be biblical. Biblical. Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We will start off, pick up where we left off with Wilbon with the World Cup soccer. Six teams have qualified for the knockout round. Russia, Uruguay, France, Croatia.
I love that name. I'm a Guay or Uruguay.
I'm a Guay, Uruguay. That's a Uruguay. Fantasy football team name, yes. Yeah. Croatia, England. That's right,
Croatia qualified.
Yes, Croatia's qualified.
Croatia beat the pants off of Argentina. Okay. I mean, okay, they have have a number of excellent. They have a guy named Luka Modric who plays for Real
Luka
Madrid.
Doncic.
Not Luka or Luka Brasi.
Right.
They have a guy named Nemanja Matic who plays for Manchester United. They have a number of very highly decorated
players.
Okay, so they're
good.
And they're actually good. They have a unique position. Chris can speak to this better than I. But if they could prevent Argentina from getting into the knockout round by tanking against Iceland,
if they beat Iceland, then Argentina can get
correct.
In. If they lose, then Argentina is out.
What is considered fair and not fair in World Cup?
Well,
I would think you could anything would be fair to advance your own position, I would think.
Well, so the situation now, this happened I think in 82 or 80, whatever year in the early 80s. Basically, West Germany and Algeria, I think, were playing. And essentially, it was a goal differential thing. And they didn't start all the games at the same time. So as a result, they sort of knew what they needed, and they kept it close and didn't try to score after, like, one goal. So now all the last game of the group stage, which is this starting today, all start – the group start at the same time. So you can't
– But that doesn't affect this. I mean,
no.
Croatia
I mean, I guess
could
you could, Croatia could come out and just lose. I suppose.
Would
I mean,
that be better for Croatia?
Yes.
Well, I mean, theoretically, yes. But remember, it's all crossover play. So Croatia would not play
until
the second place team in their group.
Until
you play a second place team in a first place team in another
correct.
Group.
But you essentially
you
have the opportunity
Argentina
to knock out one of the best teams in the world by losing.
Wouldn't
and it wouldn't
you
hurt
want to
you.
Do that?
I mean, I believe in fair play, which I guess Gary doesn't. Not
right.
surprising. And
believe in using.
But
the
yes, rules. You could. You yes, if they lost to Iceland, Argentina is out for sure.
All right, Paul has been sitting here patiently.
Paul
I'm bringing
care.
Paul in. No, he cares about this.
It's,
what would you do if you were if you were in this position? If you were Croatia and you could keep a very good team from making the advanced round, would you lay down against Iceland?
I would tank.
You would tank.
Yeah,
I would
tank.
I
don't know where Chris is living, what country he's in, but
I'm just a product of the prep school.
Yeah.
You know,
I would tank.
Well, I'm not. We were poor, and I went to public school. And
wow.
you fight dirty. And,
yeah.
And Chris, I mean you You live in Washington.
I do.
If you think playing fair is the way to success, then you need to get into another profession.
You can see why I'm here.
And that's all, I'm going
full Greg Popovich.
I go down the drain on that. Yeah. What else you got?
I just want to say praise Harry Kane, who had a hat trick yesterday in the big win.
Harry Kane.
5 goals so far in the World Cup.
He's leading for the Golden Boot currently.
That's great.
Fun. Yes, he is. You know what the record is for most goals in a single World Cup?
I don't.
No.
13.
Wow.
Yeah, Frenchman. I think it was 1958. I forget his name. Okay. So there you go.
Just make one up.
Was it Laurent Blanc?
Charles de Gaulle.
I think it was
exactly
de Gaulle.
Exactly right.
Big de left foot. Big left foot de Gaulle. Yeah.
Big guy. Big rangy midfielder.
Yes. Mr. Tony, the Nats were able to come back last night despite the rain delay, despite being down by four runs.
I totally missed the game. I mean,
Well, you had
I watched
party.
A little bit, and then I was bored with it. But Bryce Harper had 3 doubles.
Yes.
Bryce Harper
starting
to
hit
3 for 5
after striking out the first. I did see him strike out in the first inning, and went, "Oh, that's it."
Daniel Murphy 3 for 4, big two-run single that put them ahead late in the game, and even Michael K. Taylor with 3 hits.
They are not. They have no starting pitchers. They have Max Scherzer. They have Tanner Roark, who isn't good this year. Gio Gonzalez, who's maddening all the time, and the rest are minor league starters.
This weekend was, this series was, and Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, Tanner on Friday, Eric Fetty on Saturday, Jeffrey Rodriguez on Sunday.
See, they're you know.
I mean, that's, now,
well,
at least they won one
starter.
No, this is actually a very big win, even though they lost 2. They have 4 games up in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is now going to go play 3 in New York, so this is going to be really for positioning going into the All-Star break. I think it's very telling, though. You look at a team, 2 on, 2 outs. They walk a 19-year-old kid to get to Daniel Murphy. Yep.
Well, because Daniel Murphy this year was batting 100.
That's still a hard sentence to accept.
Yep. Yeah.
But by July 15th, no one will be doing that. Because Daniel Murphy can hit.
He's starting to hit.
The last two years, he batted 325, so he can hit. What else?
Mr. Tony, Bubba Watson shot a 63 final round to win his 3rd Travelers Championship.
Yeah, that's the course right outside of ESPN. Well, not right outside.
Cromwell, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Casey went +2 on Sunday. Well, you can't. This is why no one has any regard for you. You're the leader going into Sunday. You shoot 7, whatever you shoot, +2, and Bubba Watson goes 63 and wins that tournament for the 3rd time.
Going away.
What else?
3 wins this year.
This is a topic I know you wanted to talk about. Some interesting developments happening in restaurants around.
We'll start with
Sarah Huckabee Sanders went to an establishment called the Red Hen.
Dirty on the outside, I'm told.
We have to read the tweet.
Read the tweet.
Go ahead and read. Well,
tell the story.
I'm sure Nakamura has seen this tweet.
She had been out for dinner with friends. This is a restaurant in Virginia.
The Red Hen?
Yes, the Red Hen.
It's right by Washington Lee and VMI. It's in Lexington.
Yes, in Lexington.
Okay.
There's also a Red Hen here. It's not that. Sorry, Nigel.
The cheese course had already been brought to the table when the owner took Sarah Huckabee Sanders aside and requested that she leave. She said that everyone in the staff felt uncomfortable serving her. So they asked her to leave. And then
2 things. I get that a lot. 2, here's Donald Trump's tweet from this morning.
Only at Chatter
Just
you get that.
Just reminder, this is the president of the United States. The Red Hen restaurant should focus more on cleaning its filthy canopies, doors, and windows, parentheses, badly needs a paint job, and parentheses, rather than refusing to serve a fine person like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I always had a rule. If a restaurant is dirty on the outside, it is dirty on the inside. Currently with 34,000 likes.
This is going around now. This happened to the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yes, she was...
Kirstjen Nielsen. She was at MXDC.
People were shouting shame to her while she was at a Mexican restaurant near the White House.
People went into the restaurant with... I don't know if that's changed anything, but with the... They were not dining there, although I believe people who dine... Some did applaud, but they went there with the express purpose of doing that thing.
Okay, so this is, I think there could be a wide variance on where we are on this. I remember when Mike Pence, before the inauguration for a while, lived in a neighborhood, basically in my neighborhood, about 5 or 6 blocks away. And I thought, leave him alone. You know, don't stand outside.
Yeah, people were protesting outside his home.
Outside of his
and
house.
And as well with the
outside of Homeland Security. Of his house. And I just thought, you know, you can do this where the guy works. Fine, I'm okay with any of that. But when he gets to this house, why don't you leave him alone in this house? And I don't know how I am on this, on sort of organizing protests when you're in a restaurant to just beat you like a drum and drive you from the place.
Well, the Sarah Sanders thing is not an organized protest. No, it's more in line with the Supreme Court decision recently with the wedding cake for
religious
the gay
purposes.
Couple. Yeah, I mean,
did the red hand say for religious purposes?
No. I'm saying it's more closely aligned to that than it is an organized protest.
Are you okay with this? I'm on the. Here, I don't think I am. I don't think I am.
I think it was also followed up, as Chris and I were talking before the air, with Maxine Waters publicly saying,
not for that at all.
Yeah, she basically said you should bully anyone Trump-related out of place.
Here is where I am. I don't know exactly where I am on that, but I can tell you it's sad. It's hashtag sad. I am not a fan of the direction we're going in terms of the public discourse.
I think I'd be kind of where Gary is.
Yeah.
I understand people feel very passionately. It's tough if a person can't go anywhere.
And I will say this, I'm the last person, well, not because I'm going to do it, but I would think I would have been one of the last people you would ever hear defending Sarah Sanders, but kudos to her for how she handled it, at least in the moment, by just removing
herself. It does speak to the terrible gulf. It does.
But it's
between
vast.
People in the country, it's
vast.
It's terrible.
I can show you my Twitter mentions. It would also speak to that.
I think about it. I don't want to live in a country where a restaurant can say, I don't like you, whatever the reason is. So go eat somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, you say that to me all the time.
Yeah. But I do reserve the right to not like people for whatever reason I want.
Well, I hate almost everybody. but I would let them eat.
American way, Tony.
Yeah, we'll spend some money.
What else do we have?
Mr. Tony,
how about your snake?
Yeah, officials in the Great Falls, Virginia area are on the lookout for a snake that's anywhere from 3 to 25 feet long.
That is
to either be a Virginia rat snake, although one witness, whose name is Nigel, says it was possibly a Burmese python.
Can you go into great detail about this? Because the length between 3 and 25 feet seems a lot.
Well, I was on Billy Goat Trail C because A and B were flooded out. And in fact, there was lots of water.
What were you doing there?
I was going for an Ike.
Why?
Why?
You mean outside?
That's right.
On purpose?
Commune with nature. It's a bloody great hike. It really is fantastic. The views.
So you've done it before?
Yes, I've done it several times.
Michael, you went there too, right? Didn't you go to Great Falls?
No, we were at Great Falls, not the Billy Goat Trail.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you bring your hiking stick?
I did not bring my hiking
stick. Backpack?
I should have brought
your birding glasses.
I did have my backpack. And there was a break in the trees, and it was this lit area where the sun was coming through.
And you saw a snake?
Well, there were two trees that were down, and I said, you know what? I'll lean against those trees, and I'll have a little drink of water.
Mistake.
Refresh myself. And I took my backpack off and
sounds like a horrifying commercial for
myself.
Beef jerky.
So I threw it down on the I threw my backpack down on the tree and prepared to open it up, and as I did, I noticed this snake that was legitimately, and now you can't see this on News Channel 8.
Holding his arms about 5 feet apart.
Yeah, it was about 5 feet, and it was slithering towards me.
Yeah.
Had I had my back to it, I'm sure I'd have been dead. So at that point, there's
you
a physiological...
You approached its house.
Yes. Well, I think it was coming to dance with me.
Yeah.
You can either fight or flight.
Right.
So I chose flight. Oh,
that was smart.
The best.
That was smart.
I screamed and...
Did you have a new pair of underpants in
your
bag?
No, but did you... You remember Roger Craig, the high-stepping run that he
had? Yeah.
That was pretty much what I did down the trail.
Beyond.
There were some people about 10 feet on the other side, and they saw me running through, and they said, good Lord, what's happening? I said, there's a python back there. I'm just going to kill you. You need to run for your lives. So... Right. I had to return back that way because the
run
trail was closed.
Run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your hate from Sam, little girl.
So the snake is still out there.
That's the end.
I just want to warn people, there's a big snake out at Great Falls.
I'm sure
In the woods?
Yes.
Good to know.
We don't have those in England.
The lesson here is nature wants to kill you. Never go outside. I don't understand why that's complicated.
Yeah, let's get out of here. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio. We will talk at length to Paul Feinbaum because we're happy that he's here. Marcus, the intern, what's the deal with Corky's? What are they waiting for the end, or what are they doing?
They're waiting for the... Wait, we're getting Corky's?
Yes.
Well, whoa.
I think they...
Some people are getting
Royal
Corky's.
Royal we.
Yeah.
All right, good. We'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I love this song. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is from the movie Working Girl. This is Carly Simon on the occasion of her 73rd birthday. I just think this is a fabulous movie. It's Harrison Ford and
Melanie Griffith.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver as well.
And Joan Cusack steals the movie.
Oh yeah,
it's and Alec Baldwin. I think it's the first movie he's ever in.
That's right, the terrible boyfriend.
Yeah, it's but this song is great. And Carly Simon, her dad was Simon of Simon and Schuster, right? I mean, Carly Simon grew up
rich. Yes, very wealthy.
Do we have anything else in terms of critical comment? I think she's great.
This one...
she was married to James Taylor for a while.
That's right. This won all three major awards, an Oscar, a Golden Globe, and a Grammy.
It's a great song.
She said that she wrote this after reading the original script for Working Girl and then reading poems of Walt Whitman. And then essentially 5 minutes later, this is what she came up with.
It's a fantastic song.
Oh, it really is.
She is, by the way, Richard Simon, one of the founding of Simon and Schuster. She played in a group with her sister Lucy Simon as the Simon Sisters before.
By the way, I thought it was Simon and Simon, the Private Investigators.
I love the Olympia Magnum PI baby.
Lots of money.
Olympia
lots
Dukakis,
of money.
Nora Dunn, Oliver Platt, and Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, also in that movie?
Yeah. He plays a rather despicable person.
I wonder how he got into that role.
Playing to type. Yeah. All right, Paul Feinbaum is here. And Paul, for many, many years, and to this day, has the most popular sports radio show in the South. And you were referred to, and I think you sort of enjoyed it, as the mouth of the South.
Yes.
You know, who gave you the nickname?
I think it was people who had never heard of Ted Turner gave it to me. But it was a natural, and my career has been in the South. This is as far north as I've ever been.
But he doesn't cross the Mason-Dixon line.
You lived for many years in Alabama.
Yeah, I'll give the Wikipedia version of my own life.
Yeah.
Born in Memphis, the only Southerner in my family. My sister was born in New York. My parents are from New York. And when we went to New York for summer vacations, my relatives literally made fun of my accent. They tormented me. They abused me. And I'm now, if they had any money, I would have sued them by now. But we're just poor Jewish people.
So, but you end up as the most knowledgeable, most trusted, most loved and hated person in terms of the SEC. What part of you said, somebody needs to do this, why shouldn't it be me?
It was purely accidental. I went to Birmingham shortly after my career began.
Because you graduated from Tennessee.
Yeah. I couldn't get any other school. It was a state school. And I began going down the sports investigative reporting trail, and we ended up breaking a huge story, Tony. And I won all the requisite awards that you do, but when you're young. And I started getting calls from all over the country. And about the same time, I was sued over this story. It kept me there for 2 years. My career dried up. Nobody wanted anything to do with somebody in the middle. But we won the lawsuit.
Right.
But my career was rendered dead. As they made me a columnist, so I wouldn't write any more hard news stories. Right. And slowly that morphed into radio. I followed you quite closely. And I decided, you know what? If I can't go anywhere else, I'll make it here.
So what I was
the antithesis of New York.
What surprised me was you went to ESPN. You know, I mean, we've all done this, but what were the factors that you weighed in order to make that particular move?
I was mid to late 50s. I thought my career was starting to go the same way everyone else's at that point, and SiriusXM, our show had been syndicated on the College Sports Channel. They were in the process of offering me a pretty decent job, hoping that I would become the next Howard Stern, I say kiddingly. And I hired one of these ridiculous agents that everyone has.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Didn't tell me about the 15%.
Take your money.
I didn't know about that, the 15% till later.
Yeah.
And ESPN was in the process of starting the SEC network, and somebody said, you know what, this might work. And I said, there's no way it will work. I mean, I do have a little bit of Tony Kornheiser somewhere in my brain. And I took a flyer, and 5 years later, I'm sitting here with you.
But you had to move to Charlotte.
Yes.
You had to move to Charlotte. And how dislocating is that for you? And Charlotte is not an SEC town, no. Right? So how do you stay plugged into all of the things that are important?
Someone described Charlotte as Nashville without the music industry.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay.
There is nothing there.
Yeah, there used to be banking, and now there's...
Yeah, well, Bank of America is still headquartered there, although the chairman and CEO lives in Boston. But, I mean, it's a NASCAR town. It's an ACC town, and they put us in the old ESPNU studio. And, yeah, you walk outside, and I might as well be living in Germany, for all I know, because nobody knows who you are.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I've traveled the SEC, and you stay plugged in.
And you're still regarded as the absolute teller of truth in the SEC.
Well, yeah, as much as you can.
Yeah.
We can praise Paul, because he probably won't do it himself. I mean, Paul is a giant deal. Anyone who knows anything about college football knows Paul.
Absolutely.
And Paul is the most recognized expert on the most important conference by exponential levels in
I like this guy.
The college. Well, it's true.
I really do.
But I agree with that as well. I mean, I always thought ESPN landing you was good for them.
Big deal.
I knew it would be good for you, but I thought it was good for them because of the gravitas that you bring on this particular thing. And what I think that if you grow up in big cities in America, as I did, you lose track of how important college football is to the landscape of America. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one of the things I was always happy about living in Washington, late in life, I came to realize, wow, college football is really cool. And I watch it a lot. And you know all there is to it. And you have to deal, the people in the SEC, those coaches, they're demigods. I mean, how do you, like Nick Saban, how do you deal with him?
Well, interestingly, Tony, I had known Saban when he was at LSU through a friend of mine who was one of his grad assistants. And with Nick Saban, if you stand up for him once, you are his friend. Go down the street and might find someone like that. And when he came
out, someone like that.
I did not, because he lied to my face when he was the coach of Miami, and I do not. But I think he's great. But I don't.
Well, I think, I'm not going to relitigate that.
Right.
So when he came to Alabama, he knew who I was. He gave me the only interview the first day. We had a very good relationship. And, you know, it was actually good for me to move to get a little bit away from him because, you know, he is a suffocating personality. He cares about only one thing, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way, but he's a disciple of Bill Belichick.
Yes, yes.
So that's how he coaches and that's how he works. And he will turn 67 on Halloween. And I would say he is as motivated today. The money, I think, is important. I mean, he's making $11 million a year, and he's finally starting to build up his 401k.
Yeah.
And, he's better than anyone else, and he's better than anyone that's ever been, including Bear Bryant. I covered the end of Bryant's tenure at Alabama.
Why is he? I mean, because I think you could say that about Belichick, too.
Yes.
What makes him better than everyone else?
Well, he is singular.
He's obviously smart.
He is singular focused. Recruiting is his forte. And not only recruiting, Tony, he is the best evaluator. He rarely makes a mistake. And I think that's what separates him from these coaches that get these five-star recruiting guides and just say, go out and get me every five-star. He recruits the five-stars, but he also tries to match them.
Not everyone's a fit.
No. And he's also had an unbelievable list of assistant coaches. Jimbo Fisher.
All of these guys are head coaches, and they're coaching against him most
Mark D'Antonio.
But that's a double-edged sword, though, isn't it, Paul? I mean,
it's becoming. Yeah. He's 12-0 against his assistants. The average score is about 28 points.
Huh.
But the problem now for him, I think, is he has four assistants in the league.
In the league?
That is amazing.
Because if you can't get him, go get one of his assistants. Look, I don't like him. But he reminds me very much of Dean Smith in this regard. Dean Smith was very easy to dislike because he was sort of prissy and understood the rules better than you did. This is an important thing with both of those guys. You can change the rules to hurt them, and it'll only hurt you because they will find a way to win within any set of rules because they are better than you. And when he makes a public pronouncement about why such and such is unfair and you want to hate him, he's right. He's 100% right 100% of the time, which is maddening for people like me that just want to hate him. But he's singularly smarter than the others.
About 3 years ago, I did a piece for him on him for OTL. So I traveled around a couple of places. And it was in July, Tony. We were actually going from Tuscaloosa to Bristol, Connecticut. And, I mean, he didn't speak to me, you know, the first 90 minutes of the trip. I mean, with Saban, you know, and you've all been around. You disappear. He was looking at he spent the first hour and a half of the trip studying the Auburn spring football tape. And he ended up winning that game on a very last second play. I mean, he won the first national championship over Clemson on an onside kick in the fourth quarter. I mean, he was done. And he admitted, he said, we were going to lose the game. They tried the onside. So he's one of these guys that will see something 8 months ago, eight months before the season, file it away, and then pull it
out. Belichick, by the way.
He threw that quarterback in.
Oh,
yeah.
He threw that quarterback in, and one of the he just seems to know what to do. He doesn't win every game, but every game he loses is a headline for 3 months because it's so hard to beat him. It's just so hard to beat him.
He's like so many other people, but he's the victories. He doesn't think about the victories.
Right.
He's motivated by the defeats, and they are very rare.
You know, here it actually reminds me a little of Gary Williams. Just hearing Paul describe him, and the kind of guy who he'll beat you with his, but he'll beat you with yours. I mean, if you want to switch,
after the loss to Clemson the second time they played, he came back. He showed up at media days and said, our theme for this year is do not waste a failure. I mean, who talks like that? And he's only motivated by the feat. He's now into the legacy part of his career, and you know he has six national championships. His office is on Paul Bryant Drive, and even the Bryant family, and I'm friends with Bryant's grandson, admits he's the best coach of all time. Now,
wow!
I covered Bear Bryant's retirement and death, and I wrote, you know. You know, Bear Bryant retired today, the greatest coach in college football history.
And which he was.
Undoubtedly.
But things change.
How does 127-20 at Alabama taste
with five national championships? Pretty good. Hard conference. Yeah. You could talk this 365 days a year to your audience, right?
Exactly. And by the way, what was his motivation at Alabama to when he heard when you said it, and Dan Lebatard said it, and everyone else said that he was a failure at Miami.
Yeah.
That motivated him at Alabama. He lost to his first season at Alabama in the 11th game of the year. He lost to Louisiana Monroe.
Wow. That's not going to happen again.
It never happened again.
No, that's not. Yeah. But your audience is alive for this 24 hours a day.
And I think this is my theory on Saban, because it's not like he shares this with people, but his wife was quoted a couple of years ago as saying the fans don't appreciate us.
I remember that.
It was in the Wall Street Journal. And I think Saban, if you got him off by himself, which no one could possibly do, would tell you, they don't appreciate me. He's motivated by failure.
He's got that chip.
I have this. The one question I have about him, because I concede how great he is. Never would bet against him. He is so deliberately antagonistic of the media. Why? I mean, even Belichick is, but it's Belichick gets off the stage. You know what I mean? He doesn't lecture you the way that Saban lectures you.
Because he can get away with it. And he called in when he got there. He called in he brought groups of media members in to see him. You know, a couple of us had, you know, the private lunch. I thought I was, you know, going to the White House when I met him for lunch, and we had salads from McDonald's. I mean, it was not that big a deal. But he called in like gaggles of 20 and 30, and he lectured them. And he said, "What do you guys want?" And they complained, you know, we don't get access. So he said, okay, you guys are all welcome to come to practice every day. Oh, yeah, great, 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 great. He said, well, let me tell you something. If one of you, and he got in one guy's face, if you ever violate the confidentiality. I will blanking ruin you. You will never come back. And the media, their ears went back, and no one ever challenged him again.
I would go every day. I mean, I think the confidentiality agreement is fair. I think that's fair.
That was his, but that day he won, and of course he started winning. And by the way, I worked in Alabama a long time, and I bucked the system. There are few places tougher to buck the population than a state like that.
Yeah, I'm sure people. I mean, I'm sure people view him as. I mean, I'm sure he's the most popular person.
But
in
you
Alabama.
Could talk LSU. You could talk Tennessee or Florida or Georgia. You could SEC football. It's the only sport in the country that you could do.
My father-in-law,
365
my father-in-law is a Texas A&M Aggie, and he would literally listen to a show 24 hours a day about
Tony,
spring football. I mean,
he could have won 10 national championships had he stayed at LSU. It was actually a slightly better place because there was no competition from Auburn,
right,
within the state. But you know, he had to try the NFL. Wayne Huizenga offered him all this money.
It makes sense.
And he, but this, I mean, listen, the state, and I'll tell a quick story here. I mean, to define the state. So in 2011, Auburn beat Alabama with Cam Newton, and every Alabama fan thought they cheated. The NCAA, you know, the SEC, in cooperation with the NCAA, found a loophole the size of the head of a needle. And got him eligible. So Alabama's ahead 24-0 at Brian Denny Stadium. Cam Newton leads his comeback, and they win 28-27. And this guy named Harvey Updike goes ballistic.
That's the tree guy.
Yeah.
That's
he goes crazy.
That was terrible. He should have gone to jail, but he did go to jail.
And he so he calls our show, and
I remember.
By the way, Chris, my one and only PTI appearance was on this.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. No, this was
one more than me. Highlights.
The greatest day of my life.
I didn't
life.
See that on your wiki page.
I'm on PTI. I've been at ESPN 5 years and 14 days, and this happened before I got there.
I keep asking if I can just walk behind Tony.
Before.
Never
know.
Sounds like you're not getting on.
Sounds like Nick Saban's rubbing off on
Smith,
you, Paul.
Yeah, we text all day long.
Yeah, of course.
But Tony Kornheiser, you know, a fellow linesman.
No. I get it. No.
So anyway.
you don't have to tell me about snubs.
So this guy calls our show and says, you know, he's ranting and raving. And he says, I'll tell you what I did last week. I said, what's that? He goes, I got some spike ADF, which is a toxic poison for pesticide. And I poisoned the two oak trees on Tumor's Corner.
It's terrible.
And that I thought he was joking. 4 weeks later, I get a call from a friend of mine who's on the who's a staffer on the Senate Homeland Security Committee subcommittee or whatever. He said we're investigating that this guy poisoned the water system, and then it becomes one of the most incredible stories. And by the way, the two trees died, but the Auburn family, that's what they call it. So it's like Texas A&M.
Yeah, same deal.
They mourned for months.
That's understandable.
They cried.
It's a terrible
act. They had eulogies for these two trees.
What's wrong with people?
All right, let me get out of here. Thank you, Paul.
By the way,
follow
Paul's
on Twitter, by the way. Follow Paul on Twitter, at Feinbaum, F-I-N-E-B-A-U-M.
And you said Paul's audience could do 24-7 Nick Saban. I was thinking,
well,
like,
not Nick Saban.
By the way, Tony, before I go, I have an open ticket back to Charlotte, so I can stay here as long as you want if you need me on PTI.
It's wide open at 5:00.
And you're
we'll 24/7. Have jingles and email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wendy Regan.
She doesn't follow sports. Her favorite car is wine. She chews a aspirin bowl. Dating Wendy Regan is like, you better keep her happy, or you'll pay a big price. She'll smash your car window.
Regan!
Dating Wendy Regan implies a couple therapists just to coexist. All because a mom would buy Bobby wedding dress. She's my
a brilliant song, Robert Berg and Jason Fuse. Kirsten sang the song.
That's yes. Kirsten, right?
Kirsten yeah. sings. Just great. And it's all true. Wendy Rieger, the most dangerous woman on the face of the earth.
She kicked out a window.
Let me thank Michael Wilbon and Paul Feinbaum showing up cold. Yes. That's very great cool. for coming on the show today. Our sponsors today, Buffalo Trace Bourbon and Quip, they're brand new sponsors. Buy them. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Our great thanks to the people at Corky's who are about to come in and give us stuff.
Yes, go there. Delicious food.
Michael McElroy in Philadelphia. I used to work as a Phillies fan stormer, one of the Philly Fanatics minions. It helps him with the hot dog cannon, among other tasks. I have to say that woman who got hit in the face with a duct tape-wrapped hot dog is lucky to be alive. I once test-fired a hot dog into a concrete wall about 40 feet away, and it shattered into a million pieces. I'd rather pose for a selfie with an 18-foot python wrapped around my neck than be shot at by one of those hot dog cannons. It'll rip your face off, Jim.
Okay. That guy's job.
Tough old lady.
This is Phil Dollinger writes in that there's a picture of a coffin being taken through the metro, and it says DC Metro now offering cremation services. Willie in Portland, Oregon. I was wondering why Tony was planning on taking off so much time in July, but now it is abundantly clear. Introducing Christmas in July by the Hallmark Channel. That's right, days of Hallmark Christmas specials showing this July.
Can't wait.
And oh yeah, Edith Saliza.
Mm-hmm.
Mark addition. Schaefer. Who is a regular? I have noted with approval the recent addition to the chatter menu of cans of Schaefer beer. You may consider this email the extension of my ecclesial imprimatur for this decision. Well done. Keep up the good work. From Steve the Sycophant. Let me get this straight, Toby, your adorable son who rescues your tomato plants when you can't even penetrate the simple protective netting. The man who's been instrumental in providing you with a grandson. This man is a failure to you because he let his commercial driver's license lapse. When he mentions his master's degree, your response, who cares, I need you to drive a van. Poor Michael, if he hadn't wasted your money and his time on an Ivy League education and just driven a truck, you'd be so proud of him. The next time you two play golf, be sure to let him win.
Listening to the show, you did sound crestfallen about the commercial driver's license.
I just
license.
Think it's a good thing
you
to
let
have.
It lapse? Why? You know, why
John Kitayama in Pacific Grove, California.
That's
during
such a
recent podcast,
move.
There was a discussion of what GMO stands for. You suggested it might stand for genetically modified Oprah. Shortly thereafter, there was a read for either underwear or wine or some everyday necessity. I said aloud, maybe I should buy some of that. My 16-year-old non-masculine child, who happened to be in the kitchen with me at the time, said, he's like your Oprah, isn't he? I always thought that people under the age of 50 couldn't hear your podcast, but I guess I was wrong. From Bill Fine from Cape Coral, Florida. Lace Saliza needed but two words to describe Cristiano Ronaldo on Thursday. Show pony. From Brandon S. Correct. Bowker, singer-songwriter in Lexington, Kentucky. Are we still doing what my neighbor does and how long it takes me to get to work? I will hang up and listen. You can just send it in whenever you want. Dina in Damascus. 4 years ago, is she here? I was pulling into the Soak parking lot at Jingle Fest number one. I was listening to the mailbag as you were reading my email, wondering if I should go to Jingle Fest, thinking I wouldn't fit in. You said I should go and that I would fit in much more than I thought I would, and you were right. I met Claire and Robert Berg and Chad, among many, many others, and had a great time seeing them at Jingle Fest 4. The connective tissue of the show is amazing. Jingle Fest is a strange place where bigs are excited to meet littles. Littles are happy meeting famous or infamous littles, and the bar staff is wondering what the hell the excitement over some dude playing a toy piano is. Have a great summer vacation and do wear white. From Mary Shively, at Friday's Jingle Fest breakfast at Chatter, TK threw me TK Tim Kirchner's Me Undies Avocado Underpants.
Oh, wow.
Check that off the bucket list, Timmy. If you want to arrange an exchange, just IM or call me, maybe. Been singing and dancing to that tune all weekend in my new underpants. That may be a little more than we needed. This is long. It's from Jason. There are many incredible moments that took place at Jingle Fest this year. Littles in attendance will never forget David Aldridge joining John Fitzpatrick to sing a song, or the fabulous Liz Clark standing on stage to be serenaded by Kirsten. Or the fondest memory will be buying Gary a beer, having a wonderful conversation with Jeannie, or cheering the Jinglers on with Maureen. I, for one, will remember Leon buying me a drink with joyful exuberance. And then later, I had a great conversation backstage with Michael. And of course, I could never forget helping Nigel get in for free by saying aloud to the person taking tickets to the door, don't you know who he is? All of these memories and many others were made last Saturday night, but there's really one moment that rose to the top, and that's the story of Catherine and Wayne. Before the event began, my wife, her name, of course, is Jason's wife, was sitting in the front row when an older couple in their 60s, God help us, that's old, came in and sat next to her. Jason's wife introduced herself, struck up a conversation with them, learning their names were Catherine and Wayne. Catherine asked exactly what was going to happen to the show, and Jason's wife soon discovered that they didn't really seem to know much about Jingle Fest. She then asked how they ended up at the event, and Catherine replied, "We live in the area, and we just Googled live music. The only two live music events that came up for the night were Jingle Fest and Tony Bennett." Wayne naturally picked Jingle Fest.
The same thing.
I spoke with him later in the evening. Catherine said that even though she felt like they were missing a lot of the inside jokes, they were loving it. They stayed until 11, clapping and singing along with big smiles on their faces. If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, do wear white. Thank you.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
Comes through.